Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Then she walks to the back of the store. She won't deal with me.
To compose herself.
She's the only one there. And I said, look, I'm just trying to point this out. I bring the clothes. I said, you know what? Just give me all my clothes back. Give me all my clothes back. Don't worry about it. I'll go to another dry cleaner.
Oh, well, I'm sure that cheered her up.
That's probably what she wanted.
Then she cried more.
That's probably what she wanted.
You know what? I'll take my business elsewhere.
I left.
Does that make it feel better?
I don't know what to do. And I said, can I speak to the manager? I didn't yell
representative.
Oh, God,
you're making this worse at every step.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
And I still need a dry cleaner, obviously. We're live at Chatter. We were not supposed to be here today. Earlier in the week, I decided we would be here today because I ended up with a dental appointment at 10 o'clock. You're hearing this after 10 o'clock. Let's hope my dental appointment goes well. And so I said, if I'm going to be awake, the dentist, Dino Majuli, is four blocks from here. If I'm going to be awake, I might as well do the show. Michael didn't want me to do the show because I wasn't sticking with the schedule. So we will not be here next Friday or the Friday after that, but we will be here the Friday after
that. You're trying to make me
just
look
say,
like a
in
bad
Michael's,
guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, in Michael's defense,
yeah.
he never didn't want you to do the show. He wants you to make a show schedule and stick to it.
About 6 weeks out, we always sit down and try and make a schedule. I thought we had locked down June. I had given you reasons why we should do certain Fridays, protect other days for your golf, and you just said no. Blanket statement, Fridays off. I'm playing golf.
I was there.
Well, I do that, that makes it easier for PTI. It does. Instead of taking random days, you take an ordered circumstance for them, and it makes it easier.
In fairness, I was there, and what you said to Michael was, can I speak to your manager? Which I thought was a little bit of a power play.
So Gary Braun is here. Gene McManus is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel will run the board and do the news. Do not talk to me about the Americans. I have not seen it yet.
Oh, that's too bad.
Do not talk to me about the Americans.
Nor
it's
have
as
I.
Simple as that.
Stop the Americans.
I've seen it. Stop. Seen it twice.
We got, just to announce this, we got from Joseph, I guess it's Lucas or Lucis, L-U-C-E-S. He writes, as I write this, the Capitals are preparing for game two. And I thought, why not send you and the gang some free stuff? Because as a 25-year-old little in a large amount of debt stemming from college, only to have my master's and working a pretty crappy job, why not send stuff to more successful people? I regret I could not include a bottle of Malibu in this package since I'm charging my employer's FedEx account. In all, I want to thank you for the hours of entertainment since I began copying your penguin dance as you signed off PTI when I would come home from junior high to now. When I listen to the podcast around noon every day, because that's when HR leaves the office and we can have some fun. Now on to business. It would be irresponsible of me not to include my work email to try and get something out of this exchange. Please contact me if you ever want to get some hats to go along with the amazing $12 t-shirts I've never seen and only heard the sellers talk about. And Gary, he sent us Capitals hats.
A box of Caps hats.
Capitals hats, Capitals championship.
Conference championships,
that's
Stanley
really
Cup.
Nice.
That's beautiful,
very nice.
Beautiful
that's
hats.
Really nice. Jeannie was all over the box away.
There's a
Can
black
I have
hat.
One of these? Can I have another one of these?
If we could get somebody to send us those Wizards Game 6 champion hats that we've been looking for, that
really
would be
good.
Fantastic.
All right, let us start. Thank you for mentioning basketball. Let us start with
He's a pro.
Game 1 of the NBA Finals last night.
Did anything interesting happen?
Well, there are a variety of significant things to talk about, and they include a block charge call late in the game between Kevin Durant and LeBron James.
You're not going to lead with that.
And they include a 51-point performance by LeBron James. And they include all the speculation about, is this the only game that Cleveland will win, even though they did not, you know, that one, would they be able to win one? And now what happens? Because it's an overtime loss. But you must begin with J.R. Smith at the end of regulation. This is the circumstance.
Come on, man.
Cleveland.
What are we doing out there,
Cleveland,
man?
is down one. Cleveland is right down one when George Hill, who is about to cut to the basket where LeBron James will find him, because unlike Kevin Durant, LeBron James is a great passer. He's a great passer. He and Larry Bird are probably the greatest over 6'8 passers ever in basketball. They're that good. So George Hill cuts beyond where Klay Thompson confront him. Klay Thompson grabs him.
Foul.
4.7 seconds, something
exactly
like that.
Right.
That's
foul.
Right.
Yes.
George Hill, a career 80% foul shooter, is going to make two, and Cleveland's going to win by 1 point. That's what's going to happen. George Hill makes the first and misses the second. The score is tied because Cleveland was down one. Now they're even. And out of nowhere, with a great offensive rebound, is J.R. Smith.
Over Durant. Yeah.
I really think you have great. Heard me talk about J.R. Smith many times, never in a complimentary fashion.
That's
never.
Right.
In which I say that his behavior is the behavior of a buffoon. And I've said this for years and years and years. This is Shirtless Joe from Hannibal Mo. This is that guy. He's a very, very fine player, particularly at home, not so much on the road. Wonderful shooter. Calls attention to himself in all ways. And again, I think he exhibits the behavior of a buffoon. This is a very important distinction. It doesn't mean he is a buffoon. It means he exhibits the behavior of
correct.
One. What he did was, there's only, I guess there are a few ways to think about this, but he got the rebound on the left-hand side of the lane. He dribbled across the lane and out. And out towards midcourt.
As if trying to avoid any defenders. Yeah.
So you have to conclude. The reasonable conclusion is this. He thinks they're ahead, and he's saying, foul me. If you want to foul me, foul me. But if not, I'm just going to dribble
out the clock. Because
we're ahead. What may have caused him some anxiety is when he got within 2 feet of LeBron James, who's wildly gesturing at him.
Pointing the other direction.
As if to say, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he holds, ultimately, his hands to his head, LeBron does, because he can't believe what has happened. J.R. Smith with about
Honestly, what the f*** are we doing here? J.R. Smith with about
1 second to go realizes something is odd.
The ball's on fire.
And he throws the ball into the corner, and it's not enough time.
No chance.
Yeah. Not enough time.
By the way, it should be pointed out, not that anyone has ever imputed LeBron James's situational awareness or intelligence. LeBron James almost immediately realizes, we got to call timeout. This guy has no idea what's going on. Tries to call timeout, doesn't get it.
LeBron James gets all of this. Yeah. In the moment, LeBron James gets all of this. They end up going to overtime where they lose because Golden State decides, well, let's play here. Let's play here. Let's win.
Let's pretend it's the third.
Although they win by 10.
Let's try to cover.
The spread is 12.
Yeah.
Spread is 12. So if you had Cleveland, you won.
Yeah.
Which you were confident of until you went to overtime.
Yeah, Warriors were up, I think, as much as 11 in overtime.
Maybe so it still wouldn't have been enough. So afterwards, LeBron James is asked, well, J.R. Smith is asked, did you know that, oh, I knew the score.
Yeah.
I knew the score.
I was trying to set something up, trying to create some space.
Okay. And LeBron is asked that very specifically. Do you know what your teammate was thinking? He goes, no, I really don't know what he was thinking. And he said, do you think he knew the score? And the question was asked very directly, and LeBron got up, left. LeBron left the interview. Rather than deal with that question, he wants to protect his teammate as much as he can. But so the other things, and I understand that the block charge call is important. There are 40 seconds to go in the game, and they go back and forth a couple of more times. You know, I don't. The most important thing for anybody who's producing television or radio, the most important thing is J.R. Smith.
Yes.
We have seen bonehead plays before, and the one that comes easiest to mind is Chris Webber.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Chris Webber at the University of Michigan calling a timeout that he doesn't have, right?
Right.
Which he lives with forever and ever and ever. And
but
has
at
a
least
great
he
career.
Was a college player.
Yes.
Which there's some forgiveness, I
so
think.
So
that, to me, by the way, as boneheaded things go, that timeout call is not even close to this.
This is
I mean,
big.
You can forget agreed. How many timeouts you have. You can't not know the score.
It seemed clear
with 4 seconds
that
left.
LeBron wanted to kill J.R. Smith
yes.
in that particular moment. What did you think?
When I saw J.R. Smith make that move, I thought, I know that move. That's the move of a player who is trying to get fouled and or run out the clock.
Yes.
Clearly.
We see that move 100 times a year.
He must think they're ahead.
Right.
Right, Gary? He must think
he does.
Ahead.
And I think I had the same reaction as Gene. Watching it in real time, I'm like, what is he doing? The same reaction LeBron has. I will say this. And
LeBron had 51.
I've said this before.
He had a good night.
In fairness, I am a LeBron fan. His reaction, I actually really appreciated in that press conference. In an environment where lying is completely okay,
he
was faced with the choice of throwing his teammate under the bus or lying for him.
Right.
And I think lying what would have been an unbelievable lie. Okay, unlike J.R. Smith, who we all saw the reaction of, we saw him say, "I thought we were ahead." You can read his lips. He
and
says
later
that
he
to
said,
LeBron.
No, I knew.
No,
I knew
that's how I, you know, yeah, he said something that rhymed with that or something. Yeah. And I understand. I mean, man, LeBron James walking off that court was just, you talk about one that got away, and he knows it's not like they're going to get a lot of chances to steal one. From
when they sat down on the bench waiting for overtime to start, it was like
over.
LeBron had been kicked in the stomach.
So it was
game over.
Well, I wonder about the potential future implications of that one moment on the line and the, you know, the misunderstanding of the actual score, because you look at what happened at the end of overtime with the, you know, the fighting and the pushing and shoving. And
Tristan Thompson, by the way, you know, get out of here. Get out of here, rubbing the ball in Draymond Green's face.
But
what
I think that is the extension of the angst over the way that the regular 48 minutes ended there. And then you have to think, what does that mean for the rest of the series and for LeBron's decision as to his future with Cleveland? Because the moment is his standing up and leaving that press conference.
How does he keep his composure at all, though? I mean, I wouldn't lead with it, but you the second paragraph is the block charge, and that rule needs to be changed. I mean, that was ridiculous.
But that they followed the protocol.
They did.
There were conflicting calls on the court. They are allowed to go to videotape. They followed the protocol. They came up with a decision. That decision
they are
wrong.
Allowed to go to videotape, if I understand correctly, because they are adjudicating whether or not he is in the restricted area.
Yes.
And because they are at
he
the
is
tape.
He's not in the restricted area.
Correct.
But once they look, they can look at
the But that was
things.
Their excuse for going to tape. If that happens at midcourt, they need to figure it out amongst themselves. They cannot go to tape to say, let's go to tape to see if it's a block.
We are
or
going
charge.
To
That's my
be inundated with discussions about that call, as if that was the most important thing.
No, it doesn't matter.
The most important thing, because there are 40 seconds to play in that game.
Yes.
Right.
Well, you're playing against a team that can light it up, you know, with threes. The most important play is the J.R. Smith play. It's first, second, and third, and then you get to something else. And now you have to ask yourself, well, and Michael's comment is way down the road in terms of will LeBron stay or go? I mean, I don't think there's any chance he stays in Cleveland. But in any case, what happens now in the series? Now, most people would reasonably say, well, that's it for Cleveland because they weren't good enough to win anyway, and now they will be swept. I look at Golden State as a team that is just unbothered by having to win. I don't know. They have the talent to sweep them. They should sweep them. They're 10 to 15 points better every time they walk out on the court than almost than every team in the league, and they're probably 20 points better than that team every time they walk out on the court. But they don't seem to care.
Because they
should win. That's at home. They should win easily.
They appeared, and Gene, I know you were watching at the end, Tony. I don't imagine you were.
No.
Thank you.
They appeared so loose. It was like, it was not, I didn't see any relief. I mean, I would have thought if I was them, it would have been like, ooh, that one ought to get away. They were so loose at the end of that game.
Convinced they're better than everybody
right.
else. They don't care.
So
they don't care if they lose.
So I would offer that close shave last night doesn't get their attention.
That's what I think.
I think you start right back where you
were. I think Cleveland can win game two.
And I think you're going to have close games throughout.
Because now LeBron's really angry, so he'll come out and score 75.
But their concession is, we will accept the title, and we are going to give up the single greatest performance against us because of what the title means and what the title means in a series of titles over a 5-year period.
They're really, really good.
Yeah.
LeBron should go play with them.
God,
they would go
nothing.
82-0.
That would be unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, I'm watching that game late in the game with my wife, who is not a big NBA fan. She's a college basketball fan, watches enough of it to like watch that game and say, oh my God, the team, they're terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, they are as bad as he is good.
Yeah, they're not.
There's nothing
the
there.
The last team like this was the Allen Iverson team in Philadelphia, where Larry Brown was the coach. And they won the first game in Los Angeles.
Did.
And they that was it.
Steamrolled after
you know, that.
That
was it, you know, after that. But I'm of a mind to say that Golden State, they don't really care. They know they're going to win the series.
Right.
They do. They are. they're going to win.
Now, it'll be interesting to see how the whole thing is adjudicated. I mean, I would think, if anything, the only one at risk of losing time would be Thompson.
Well, they said that Kevin Love was on the court, so he might
Kevin
be.
Love helped them. The he had 21
yeah.
and 13.
Yeah, he had a great night.
He it's helped them. Well, LeBron, 51.
Yeah.
51 in a road playoff game. Not hogging the ball. 19 of 32.
Right.
Yeah. Not hogging the ball. Should hog the ball. Mm-hmm. Should not let anyone else touch the ball ever.
Do you think they told JR after the game, yeah, you can't stay at the hotel with us. You're going to make your own invitations.
How did he get back on the court? Man.
With or without his shirt.
Here's the order for coffee. There you go.
We'll take a break. When we come back, Barry Zaluga will join us, and he will talk about the Capitals, where we have a flag. And not only do we have a flag, Gene, we are mentioned.
We're mentioned in today's weekend section. Good places to watch the Caps game on Saturday night. Chatter right up there with other great sports bars in town.
This is very good. Yeah. This is a good deal for us. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the SeatGeek ad. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing. There is a better way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out with friends, or need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I'm assuming that SeatGeek has Capitals tickets for tomorrow night.
Yes, they absolutely do.
Now, I'm not saying they're not pricey, because I'm sure they're going to be pricey. But if you want to go,
they go once every 20 years.
Yeah, if you want to go, you can go to SeatGeek.
You know what else SeatGeek has?
Starting at $1,056.
Okay.
They have tickets to the Dead and Company, which I'll be at tonight. So, and I got my tickets.
And please take mine. Please.
You don't want the one I got for you?
No. Please use it. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And if you've never used them before, listeners to this high-quality podcast will get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. And I'm not saying that's going to take a ticket for $1,056 and cut it in half. It's not. But, you know, it's $20 more than you had before you made the deal.
Right.
Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony, T-O-N-Y, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This comes from Dante Romito, who writes, several months ago you played one of my songs, Irwin Vibe, on the show. I have another song that I thought might be relevant to current sports news. I was wondering if I might play it. Attaches a song I wrote after reading Paulo Coelho's The Alchemist, which LeBron James has been reading as the Cavs go through the playoffs. I hope you dig it. That song and the rest of my EP can be found on iTunes and such. For more info, fans can check out my website, www.danteremitomusic.com. And this is called The Alchemist, which is very, very nice.
It's very lovely.
The Alchemist, of course, is somebody who pretty much spin straw into gold, which what we try to do, you know, whenever we do this show. Ouch. Barry Zaluga joins us now, and he's back from Vegas. And before we get to the save, because we've talked about the save, I think...
What do you mean by that, the save?
Yeah, the Holtby save. I think many more people would like to know a couple of things about Barry's stay in Las Vegas. What hotel did you stay at?
I stayed at something called Marriott's Grand Chateau.
Ooh, sounds French.
And how was it?
How many bathrobes?
Yes, how many bathrobes?
Do you have any leftover rhino bucks? I'm heading out next week.
Once I got the tiger out of the room, it was a lot better.
Right.
It's very nice. It was slightly off the strip. It was like a, you know, walk across the street type of thing. You can walk to the arena there, which matters to me. And, you know, it's Vegas, man. It's just, it's unrelenting. And, I know it's been raining here, I think, every day.
Yes.
I was happy to get home and happy for the thunderstorm last night. And it's too much after a while in my mind. So it was fine.
What's the arena like? Is it a nicer? It's brand new, right? Is it nice?
I don't think it's brand new.
Oh, it's not?
Okay. It's been there. Now, I should know this. I am thinking... If it's brand new, it doesn't have some of the things that a brand new arena would have. The elevators are small. Some of the corridors are cramped.
But it's not the Thomas and Mack Center. It's not where Vegas played. Right.
No. It's T-Mobile Arena.
Opened April 6th, 2016.
That's pretty new.
Yeah.
That's pretty new.
Yeah. It does. I mean, obviously, everybody's been, or I don't know if you guys have talked about the pregame stuff.
We're going to talk
about
that.
Do they do something before the game starts?
We're going to mention that. Yeah. We're going to mention that eventually. We'll get to that.
So anyway, it's I would say for a brand new arena, it looks better from the outside than it does from the in. It's fine. I mean, what can you do with a 20,000-seat arena that's supposed to be dual-purpose hockey and basketball? I don't know that there's a ton that makes them distinctive. It's not like a baseball park, right.
Did you do any gambling?
I placed a couple small wagers in the sports book. I learned that betting on baseball is fickle. I did cash a couple hockey tickets. One of the reasons why I think I'm probably happy to be home. It's not that I don't know the rules of blackjack or I couldn't play poker. I will admit that environment intimidates me, and I don't want to be the guy that splits and the person next to me says, "What are you doing? You messed up the whole deck." That's not my scene. So, I find it all a little bit unsettling, and so I'm perhaps not the perfect person to be covering this series.
I'm not a gambler myself, and my friends.
What do you call buying this place?
Well, that's a different sort of thing. But in the years that we would go play golf in Atlantic City, I don't really sit in, and I always, and even though I can count to 21, I always try to sit at the far end of the table so that I don't disturb anybody else's cards. And it's not enjoyable. The winning doesn't thrill me and the losing really bothers me. So I don't like to do it. I get no kick from it. I don't.
There's also the stress of did I do the right thing for everybody else at the table? Is that what was the expected?
That's why I want to be at the far end. Yes.
Yeah.
I
get all that. It's not, I'm going to go back there for game 5 maybe a game 7 even. I can't say I'm relishing it. And, if you want to, be all about sports writers rooting for themselves, which is what we do.
Yeah.
If you go back to the Winnipeg-Nashville series in game 7, I was really disappointed that Nashville could not come through because that's a town in food and music that I would have really enjoyed.
All right, let us get to the pregame festivities, which seem to last absurdly long. I said this on the air the day after game 1. I thought the Memorial Day thing was really in poor taste. I mean, that's Memorial Day. Why are you killing people on the ice? Why in a town where hundreds of people were killed by a shooter in the Mandalay, why are you doing this? And I think a lot of people, I think I'm in the minority on all of these things, but you don't even have to be specific as to the taste of it, whether or not it was good or bad, but it lasts so long. Why is that permitted?
I was surprised. I mean, and I was, not to be all button-down Washington, but, we are who we are. I mean, it fits Vegas, blah, 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 blah. But it also struck me that when they got to the late part of the pregame series ceremonies in game 1, the Capitals and the Knights are both on the ice, and they're skating around, warming up, effectively in the dark, with these kind of images being shown on the ice that are the only things that is providing light. And I'm not saying that skating in a circle in the 3 minutes before opening face-off is super important, but it felt like the competition was secondary, and we're talking about the Stanley Cup Finals. Now, I'm not saying that this has any sort of profound impact on the game, but I thought it was. I talked to one Capitals official the next morning, just kind of going over the night, and he was like, "Man, before the puck dropped, I was tired. It was like too much. It's like I want to get back to Washington where maybe some dudes in suits have pulled a Kuznetsov jersey over their shirt
so,
and tie,
so
and
funny.
That amounts to the fan base." So I thought it was too much. I think it fits Vegas. I'm glad to be home. And I was surprised it was too that long as well.
Gary, you fell in love with it. right?
I started on your side. And I sort of came all the way around to the point, Barry, where honestly, during some point in the middle of Imagine Dragons performing Whatever It Takes during Game 2, I decided I have to be in that building for Game 5.
and I'm going out.
Yeah. Whatever so it takes, pun intended.
Out and thought it was, you know, being there, and there were Caps fans there, is a great thing. And it actually, my friend said, oh, I didn't have anything to dislike about the Golden Knights before this, but now I have a reason to hate them because this is over the top and it's ridiculous. The Imagine Dragons thing, I don't begrudge them that. I mean, if you have a hometown band who can play one song and get the
I'm fine with that. It's the other stuff.
The medieval times deal?
Just seems stupid to me.
It's Vegas.
I understand.
And some have pointed out to me on Twitter, and I guess I should say this on your behalf because you just referenced again the horrible tragedy out there, that sort of who are we from over here to tell them how they want to rise up
That's 100% right. I'm just saying for me, I didn't like
Understood.
It.
Understood.
For me, I want to drop the damn puck so I can see the whole game without falling asleep.
You know what? Okay. I wait 20 years to get there. They can stretch it out if they want.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know where your seats are. Did you see the Holtby save as it happened? Did you see it on television? Were you blocked in any way when you saw, just tell me, just go through that for me.
Well, okay, so... You know, if we get into sausage making here, how do you do this, Tony? I've got to file a fully coherent column at the buzzer, right?
Yeah,
so
just
my
impossible.
Head's in my computer. But I was looking at the ice. We were at my seat in the press box, which is high above the ice, which is actually, a really great view for hockey. I think that about Capital One Arena too is you get to see plays develop really nicely, and you get a sense of structure and strategy I think you don't get when you're lower down. But we were at the kind of Holtby end. And to appreciate it, I do think you have to see it a second, a third, a fifth, a tenth time. But it was a situation where you know how you've been in these hockey arenas where if the home team has a chance like that in the final couple of minutes of a one-goal game, everybody at that end of the arena rises up and puts their arms in the air because there's the goal. Oh, no. Oh, how did he miss that? And then you go back and you break it down. And only then, you have a sense that Holtby made the save, but only then do you understand that he got his stick all fully extended, that he trapped the puck and did not allow a rebound, that he smothered it. And then you start to think, I know what I started to think is, oh my God, I'm writing about the wrong thing. And that's just how it goes. That could be a series changing moment. And really, if it's a series changing moment, then it's nothing short of a franchise changing moment because, it's the kind of thing that has to happen to swing something in your favor. It's the difference between winning and losing. And, we might be talking about that for a while.
This is the guy who was benched at the beginning of the Columbus series for the first two games. Excuse me, and has come back. He's been terrific. If they win, I said this on PTI yesterday, if they win, and that save took them further than they've ever been as a franchise because they'd not won a game in the Stanley Cup, if they win, the only thing in the city higher is Riggins. Because that won the Super Bowl. And this would not won the Stanley Cup, because you have more games to play. But it goes over everything. It's not really a long list. We were reviewing this yesterday, and so I got to see the Darryl Green punt return a number of times,
nice.
Which
yeah,
is so great.
Is sweet.
I mean, Wirtz Homer could have been that.
Could have been.
Done,
John Wall jumping up in game six, but they didn't win. Riggins won the Super Bowl. Right, Barry, that becomes number two to that, I think.
I think it has to.
They have to win, though.
They have to, right. They have to win. And there are things like, Jason Worth's homer in game four in 2012. That's a big moment. They didn't win the series. They've never advanced. If they win, it's hard. What championships in the four major professional sports have we had in D.C.? We have three Redskins Super Bowl titles and a Wizards. A Bullet
Terps,
championship in 78, and then, a Walter Johnson in 1924. I mean, that's the list, right? So I would say that Holtby, unless something, you know, if Ovechkin has a hat trick or something, maybe we're looking at something down the line. But it's hard for me to imagine that if they win the Cup, there's going to be a bigger moment than the Holtby save with 2 minutes left in game two.
So this is my feel. I don't ever pretend to know much about hockey, and I don't know anything about hockey. And I certainly don't know anything about the Vegas Golden Knights, who were formed, you know, at the beginning of the year. I mean, I don't know anything about them. So I would ask this. You're around the Caps. Do you get any particular sense of confidence? Because, I mean, I'm willing to go out and say, oh, the Caps are going to win four in a row. Lose one, win the next four. Because I don't know anything about the other team whatsoever. Do you sense from the players, not necessarily something different, but something that leads you to conclude they will either win or lose?
Well, I mean, I think walking to the edge of making a prediction here, but probably not making it, what I have felt for, I don't know when I would have first written this, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe midway through the Pittsburgh series, that there was something different about this group. And now, that is, I felt at the time, I was certainly hesitant to write that because, you know, we're talking only a couple weeks ago where the Capitals' history was the Capitals' history, and if you go out on a limb with them, you're going out on a limb with a lot of heartache and misery over the last 40 years. So that said, this group seems to really deal with setbacks, both small and large. Small, you know, taking a stupid penalty or giving up a power play goal or having a defensive breakdown, or large, you know, facing a 2-0 deficit in the first series in Columbus, having their backs against the wall against Tampa and having to win the final two games. They seem to deal with those very methodically. And there is, while we can associate over, again, 40 years, a sense of panic around this team, this is the group that has broken away from that. And I think because they have done that, and there's demonstrable ways to, or things to point to in that regard, that they pushed through Pittsburgh, that they won the final two games against Tampa, that might have allowed the fan base to push past some of it as well. So there wasn't this sense after losing game one where it was really a disjointed game. They didn't play very well for championship game. It was kind of sloppy. There was just, instead of like, oh my gosh, they wasted this opportunity and Lars Eller missed the open goal mouth with 30 seconds left and how are they going to recover, it was like, they didn't play well. They're probably going to play much better in game two. So that's a long-winded way of saying I think this group has earned confidence and trust in a way that Capitals teams for probably 40 years have never heard them.
I agree, and because there's nothing known about the opponents, it's very easy to say the Caps are going to win. There's no fear factor. They're not Pittsburgh.
No.
They're not. They're not Detroit. You know, they're not. Who knows anything about them? So
it's not a Chicago or Detroit situation where you're going in and looking at the banners. I mean, if you look at the rafters here, in Vegas, you're not going to see anything. So
no, they may as well hang thongs up on the wall. I mean, they're not, you know,
that's
a
great idea.
It's Las Vegas. Thank you, Barry. Enjoy. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it.
Barry's for Luga, boys and girls. We'll take a break. Barry's great. We got to get him in here, but we can't bring him in here when he's working because he's, you know, he works late at night. We'll take a break. When we come back, Nigel will have the news for us. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Father's Day, two weeks away, 2-3 weeks away, right? The 17th.
Sneaking up.
It's not really sneaking up.
Yeah,
today's June 1st. I think it's 2.5-3 weeks away.
Sneaking I've been looking forward to this day all year long.
It's just around the corner. By the way, well, I'll tell you something.
2 weeks from Sunday.
Are you trying to find the perfect gift for Father's Day? Does your dad love to grill but hate the hassle and poor quality at the grocery store? What better way to kick off the grilling season than by gifting an Omaha Steaks Father's Day package to your dad? It's convenient. Omaha Steaks delivers hand-trimmed, flash-frozen, vacuum-sealed meats directly to your door in an Omaha Steaks cooler. The variety is pork and poultry and veal and lamb, bison, seafood, vegetables, all of the highest quality cuts with one-of-a-kind flavor. All beef is USDA inspected for quality and aged for 21 days to unlock the full flavor and tenderness of the cuts. And Omaha Steaks even gives you the option to customize cuts for your dad's grilling needs and to find recipes, to find wine pairings, etc. This deal that they're offering This has my actual endorsement. I mean, because I've had this. It's very, very good. Omaha Steaks is giving a limited time offer to my listeners for Father's Day. It's obviously going to expire after Father's Day. You get 78% off. It's an amazing deal. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Tony K in the search bar, and you can get this Omaha Steaks Father's Day package. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 4 chicken fried steaks, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 Omaha Steak burgers, 4 jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, 4 caramel apple tartlets, the Omaha Steaks seasoning packet, and 4 more grill-ready Omaha Steaks burgers free with the purchase. Again, it's a limited-time package. It's $49.99, $50. When you go to omahasteaks.com, you type Tony K in the search bar and add Father's Day package to your cart. Don't wait. The offer obviously ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Tony K in the search bar, grab your dad, fire up the grill.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show. We're all grown up like petty cash.
Tramp stamped out by diets past. This is sent to us by John Matthew Simon, whose friends and co-workers call him Simon. He says, I'm a longtime Little and the lead singer of the Chicago punk band Bully in the Hallway, which, like all great things, we started out as a joke. He sent us Best Intentions, a song written as a theme song for our friend's bar, arguably the best bar in Chicago of the same name, or at least that's how we excused the day drinking at said establishment that ultimately led to the conception of the song. And finally, from Michael Wilbon, who's a fellow Ignatian Wildcat and Chicagoan. That means this kid went to St. Ignatius and Northwestern as well. All shtick aside, if it wasn't for sports-addled millennials searching for after-school programming, would PTI be so successful? No.
Fair review.
No. No, we wouldn't have any audience at all. We wouldn't be able to buy bars, which maybe wasn't a great idea. If you want to send your music 50-50. In, Michael, like if you want to be like Simon and send your music in, how do you do it?
We'll email your music to the show by sending it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
And as Father's Day progressively moves towards us and doesn't sneak up on us, what are we selling?
Bootsy1. Promo code Bootsy1 is going to get you 25% off Johnny O.
I'm wearing Johnny O today
and
for those of you watching on the channel.
As is Nigel.
There is the opportunity to share photos of you and your dad in your Johnny O. If you tag Johnny O and This Show Stinks, give it a hashtag La Cheesery, you might be able to win that monogrammed prize pack.
Yeah, we're giving
cool
stuff away.
It made
me,
cool
this
promo.
Is a small moment. I'm looking through social and I see that Johnny O has retweeted a photo that was sent in by listener Gunnar Kane. And it made me happy to see
that.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
The more we do that, the more chances you have to win, the better your life will be. Who doesn't want free stuff? What are you, crazy?
Send me a box of
what
that.
What do you think, Bootsy?
By the way, somebody actually did that. Somebody actually sent to Chatter a box. When you opened the box, it had over 1,000 small little cut-up pieces of paper with the word that on it. So they sent us a box of that. That well, actually happened.
It's a lot of effort for that.
Yes.
Do you think Bootsy will be age 10 when he rises up and sheds his nickname and reclaims his real name?
I'll be long gone. I'm the only one who uses the nickname.
No,
everyone else calls him Walker.
What worries me is that Bootsy's beginning to stick in the house. I call him Little Bootster.
Yeah, that's right.
And it bothers me so much.
Well,
did
you know,
I not love my Uncle Boots? I had an Uncle Boots. His name was Bernard, but everybody
yes,
called
but
him
you
Boots.
Forget.
Uncle Boots. Called
Walker's
him Boots.
Born at 2:21. I immediately text everyone in the family, and I just see the dots that signals that you're replying back to me. And you, yeah, okay, Walker, ER names.
Yeah.
So I will point out my boys who will turn 14
Spike
in November are Spike and Ike, even though to many people's surprise, that is not their names.
That's not their names.
But it has stuck, and it will stick. And we should point out, Bootsy1 is not W-O-N, like
no,
Bootsy1 being born to your
right,
bloodline.
The number one.
But Bootsy, the number one, like his first birthday.
For the Johnny O code. What news do we have?
Mr. Tony, I have to start this newscast with some very disturbing news, and this is an alert for all of our listeners in Germany, particularly in the Lunebach region, which is in western Germany, right on the border of Belgium and Luxembourg. Local authorities have advised residents to stay inside their homes and call police if they see anything, because a massive hunt is underway for 5 big cats who escaped from a nearby zoo. When I say cats, I mean 2 lions, 2 tigers, and a jaguar.
I hope they don't get shot. I mean, I hope they get trapped in some way, humanely, and they
We typically don't shoot them until they kill somebody, right?
They haven't done anything wrong yet. A German police officer by the name of Gerhard Gerard said that, ladies and gentlemen, our
Lieutenant Gerard?
Yes, been on the run for 90 minutes.
Gerard? Buck Rogers?
Yeah, so please.
The fugitive's name.
Shelter in place if you're anywhere in Lunenburg.
Yeah. Okay. So, it's a little bit more serious than Ollie the Bobcat running through Northwest D.C.
Yes. The fugitive's name is Simba, I think is what they said. Okay. Yes. Now to the Nats, Mr. Tony.
Nats lose.
Big series with the Braves. They lose the opener 4-2.
All right, so I said this yesterday. There are one-point games and there are two-point games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a two-point game. It's in the division.
Yeah.
If you lose, you fall further back than just one because your rival gains one and you lose one. It's a net two. Tanner Roark was not particularly good in the game. He wasn't. Wasn't particularly sharp.
A lot of walks.
Gave up four earned, six-plus innings. Had trouble. Mark Reynolds, Juan Soto came back to earth a little bit. I guess I was surprised. I thought that Strasburg followed Scherzer in the rotation.
It looks like it was realigned.
Yeah.
All you need to know about that game was I'm pretty sure that Tanner gave up a runner on to lead off every single inning, or maybe five out of seven.
That's what it seemed like. He was not sharp at all, man. You lose that.
All they need to do in the series is split the series, and that is a successful road trip. They swept two series in a row, which is very hard to do in baseball.
That's right. But now they have to win two out of three.
Okay, but you have to throw this series then against the one that's in D.C. in June, so I think we can take a little pause.
Well, it's Freddie Freeman, 100 years old. He
kills the Nats.
He kills the Nats. Hasn't he retired yet?
No, he's the
best
player.
Every time they play at Lynn, I'm like, Freddie Freeman is still there?
And not only that, and what is interesting is when a Nats runner gets on first and they converse so joyfully, you know, you want to say, hey, Freddie Freeman's killing you.
Yeah.
He's killing you.
We're being so sporting.
If you look at Freddie Freeman's numbers against every other team in baseball, they do not come close to his numbers against the Nats.
That's crazy. Yeah. I don't agree with you. Go to the numbers, because I don't think that's actually true. His numbers against everyone are fantastic. He bats over 330.
Do you know how to do this?
I'll figure it out.
Just
sure.
Talk to you tomorrow.
You're missing the story of Harper with two tough plays in right field.
He didn't do very well.
Which could help out the Nats, because that's one of his tryout games.
He didn't do very well in right field. And in fact, even FP said, we went sort of casually after that one. That was the first one.
He might be playing a lot of home games there in the near future.
You think that he would play in Atlanta?
I think they would want him. Yeah.
Okay. What else?
Some tough news for Clayton Kershaw. He's back tightened up in his first game back from being on the disabled list, which was not back-related, being on the disabled list. It was a left biceps tendonitis. He threw 62 pitches over five innings in the 2-1 loss to the Phillies. By the way, the Dodgers is 2-6 in the 8 Kershaw starts, and this is yet another issue with his back. I think he's been on the disabled list 3 or 4 times with back-related
Best pitcher in baseball, but not this year.
He seems to be missing a lot of time. Are we starting to see the beginning of the end?
Sure.
To a story that we've talked about a lot this week, it continues to develop with the Philadelphia 76ers internal probe into those anonymous Twitter accounts that were attached to Brian Colangelo.
So this is, let me just explain this. yesterday, there was some sentiment on the PTR show to do a second day story on this. Because it is apparently spread to the notion is now that because the last two digits of his wife's cell phone are a certain two numbers, and those show themselves somehow in these Twitter accounts, that she is involved in this. And I sat there with Matt and I said, we shouldn't do this. This is now, we're now into speculation. This doesn't raise itself to the standards of journalism. You know, we really don't honestly know what we're talking about anymore. So while it's a very good story to follow, I didn't know that we should talk. And we decided we weren't going to talk about it on the air. But that's PTI, and that's not this. And we got to fill a lot more time.
And so, we're more reckless.
Yeah, and we're reckless here. So what is the new development? They're looking into
the why his wife Barbara may have been involved in the postings.
May have been.
Yes. And ownership apparently
is not
inclined to give him a pass for that. If she,
well, no, you can't.
Yeah,
no. If your wife is doing this, you have to. I think it's fair to conclude, and I wonder what Jeannie thinks. I think it's fair to conclude that this is conversations that the two of them have had, and that's how she is familiar with this type of thinking. And if she's going out and doing this, I'm sorry, that's nuclear family. That's got to go.
Yeah. From day one, even before the wife was or was not implicated, I thought it's a got-to-go situation.
Me too.
I mean, manipulating the news about his players, savaging them behind their backs.
But if it's his child or his wife, if it's nuclear family, the information comes from him.
Okay, and right. if he's throwing her under the bus
to save his job, then he's got to go.
He's got to go.
And he's got to go.
Yeah. And everyone in Philadelphia.
Do we have anything more on it, or is it just, it's wild speculation.
Yeah, it's just.
It's like detective work. But you don't know.
Yeah,
don't know.
The report here on ESPN.
I mean, it could be that someone very skilled at the internet has set him up.
Yeah.
That could be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Skilled at the internet.
Yes, skilled at the internet.
I just want to write that
down. Write that down.
Skilled at the internet.
Skilled at the internet.
S-A-I.
I mean, the ESPN report that I'm reading right now says it does say that he has discussed with ownership the possibility about his wife. So that appears, I mean, that's...
Well, because they're legitimately saying, does your wife has anything to do with this?
Yeah.
What they're discussing now is how much money to get you out of here.
Right. He doesn't survive this, right?
I don't think so.
But again, someone skilled at the internet could be doing this to him.
Yes.
Russians.
Could be
Russians.
Manafort. Could be.
Are we ready for that Freddie Freeman update?
Not the way you said it.
This is good info.
Okay.
He's currently batting .335 and against...
I don't mean just this year. I mean career.
I'm giving you his this year numbers and career. Excuse me. Batting statistics against National League teams. So ahead of the Nats, he is batting 400 against the Mets, 481 against the Marlins. He is at 348 against the Nats, 444 against the Reds. If you look at his
on-base... Is this career or is this year?
This is career.
Career.
If you look at on-base plus slugging, Nats are high up there, but he is the Marlins killer, slightly ahead of the Nats killer. He's just a fantastic all-around
player. He's really good.
But
the Nats should have traded for him 5 years ago.
And he was on that MVP run before he had that injury last year.
I looked from a different angle. Career average of .292, slugging of .498, and OPS of .878. And against the Nats, those numbers are .327, .542, .943.
So he's way above.
10% ahead of his career average.
Against the Nats. What else, Nigel?
Sounded like it would have been a good wager. And starting very soon, if you go to Delaware, you'll be able to make sports wagers.
So I live in Delaware. I don't live in Delaware. I have a house in Delaware, and I frequent Delaware. Well, not lately, because I'm tired of going to Delaware, to be honest. It's just a long drive. And, you know, if I had to do it over again.
Your grid is really getting small.
It's just shrinking.
But I'm sort of wondering, how do you bet in Delaware? Where do you go to bet in Delaware? Do you just bet on your phone? Do you have to physically go to a betting par? How does it work?
Well, I know there's three casinos in Delaware. And
they're not near me.
So, yeah, it would be tough for you.
I mean, Dover Downs is one. Yeah. Harrington is one.
I'm assuming that this means that it's at sports books in casinos. This will be valid. I don't think it's like you can go.
Dover is what, about 50 minutes from our house?
Yeah, so you can't go to Funland?
Yeah, I don't think you can
go to Funland.
I think you're going to put
one pizza
on the boardwalk right at the end of your street.
Start popping up like OTBs.
I have a guy at Thrasher's Fries. He can make a bet for you if you like.
Well, you could always do that. Yeah. This is legal.
I mean, I would like to be able to do that. Yeah. I mean, and I'm not a bettor, but I think other people would do it.
Better.
Yes.
I mean, in the outlets. There ought to be a shop in the outlets, like right next to Brooks Brothers.
So you could get some boat shoes.
Yeah.
And then place a bet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
G.H. Bass, thank you.
To golf, Mr. Tony. Tiger Woods, I guess, shot, what, a 39 on his way out, but a 33 on the way back in. So he had a little bit of a tight back, but... I wasn't rotating very well today. Back was tight, and just it is what it is. Some days.
How are the glutes?
He did activating? Not say. Did not say whether the glutes activated.
So he was DFL after his first nine holes, and now he's even. He's ahead of Phil, Rory, and Jordan Spieth. And I'd like to ask the golf expert here, what's the deal with Jordan Spieth?
So I actually, instead of the actual play, take a look at what Jordan Spieth did on one of the par threes. The PGA Tour has this new hashtag live under par, which doesn't really make sense because for many parts of the world,
living under par means you're sick.
Most of the world.
Right. And so they now allow you to take your cell phones out. One of Jordan Spieth's major sponsors happens to be AT&T.
Yeah.
He's long left of a green, turns to the crowd, and in the smuggest Jordan Spieth way, he goes, you know what, can we put the cell phones away? Can we just not record this one shot? Can we stay in the moment? And that just sums
up... Wouldn't they be staying in the moment by recording the shot?
Well, you want to experience something without being behind a camera. I mean, imagine if you're going through a museum, going through a site. Stay with me, you know, stay present. And I think that's where he is with the entire season. The Tiger stuff is, I think he's being totally open. You're going to have terrible nines. And he was all over the golf course.
Yeah, Jordan Spieth is, and Tiger's ahead. Arguably, the three biggest names in golf with Tiger would be Spieth, Rory, and Phil.
Yeah. The timing of this is a little bit different, difficult because you have the U.S. Open, which is a completely different style of golf in 2 weeks.
Right.
And they're playing this as an appreciation towards Jack Nicklaus and because it is a premier event. But if you just look at the colors on the golf course, it is foreign to what they will see at Shinnecock Hills. They have all been out to Shinnecock. Tiger was there on Memorial Day. And I think they're looking at this as just 1 week they have to get through. And frankly, for some of them, missing the cut wouldn't be the worst thing for their preparations.
Interesting thing about the Open, the U.S. Open, it falls on Father's Day
every year.
However, it never appears to sneak up on us, does it?
No, it doesn't. Yeah. No. Everybody's prepared
funny.
For it. What else you got?
Mr. Tony, I have a public service announcement. As we are in the summer season and people like to go to public pools all the time, well, you may want to think twice about that. And, of course, this originated down in Florida. Where exactly in Florida, we are not sure. But somebody was lounging by the pool and there's a very nice video they're taking of children frolicking on a very lovely day.
Sounds beautiful.
Woman comes over.
You know, it isn't beautiful. You know, it's an invasion of everybody's privacy. I mean, these stupid cameras are an invasion of everybody's privacy.
Stay in the moment.
Well,
live under par.
I think the reason why the video started was because of what they saw was going on with this woman.
A giant otter.
Who walked over to the side of the pool, put her legs in there, and then proceeded to start to shave herself. Her legs.
Well, you can't do what is that? You can't do that.
One would think that you're not allowed
to do that.
Unfortunately, I've looked through the very rigorous rules posted at most Florida public pools.
Because they assume you're not going to do this.
Should be a safe
assumption. They also don't have a rule that you can't drive a bus into the pool. Because they don't assume anyone is thinking of doing that.
I think they need to get their lawyers together and come up with some new regulations. So there you go.
Was it a Harry's razor?
It did not look to be a Harry's razor. We don't want to give them credit.
By the way, Sean is here from Coop. Coop Ale in Oklahoma City.
Coop Ale Works.
Coop Ale Works in Oklahoma City. He brought us a whole bunch of craft beer for Michael and for Gary.
Happy to get into that.
Yeah,
so that's very
great.
Nice. So we thank him. All right, so we'll take a break. We'll do Old Guy when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day, and this is old. This is old. This is Leslie Gore, the late Leslie Gore, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. The late Leslie Gore, the sister of Michael Gore, who was did tremendous work in terms of music and scoring motion pictures and television shows and things like that. This has got to be 60 years old.
1963. It hit number one on this date in 1963.
55 years old.
Just a few weeks after Ms. Gore turned 17.
Yeah.
So she was a young talent.
Oh, yeah.
And this is written by John Gluck, Wally Gold, and Herb Wiener, staff writers at Aaron Schroeder Music, so there wasn't one of the Brill Building songs. But it's an interesting story how it came to be Leslie's big hit. It was sending out to a lot of people. And
she had a bunch of hits. She had four or five big hits.
Eventually, Phil Spector said, hey, I'd like to record this with one of my groups. And they said, that's great. Quincy Jones had already had Leslie Gore record this and said
Quincy Jones, yeah, he was doing it when he was 20 years old.
And he's like, if Phil gets his out first, this'll never fly. So he just grabbed some copies, sent them out to radio stations around the country. They started playing it, and within a few weeks it was a number one song.
What I remember about her was that the big deal was she went to Sarah Lawrence.
Yeah.
You know, and she was, you know, a prodigy and an intellect and all of that stuff. And she had a bunch of hits and, you know, and then she didn't have any more hits. Because she got to be old.
You Don't Own Me, another big one.
That's a great song.
Yeah,
it's a torch song. It's a great song, You Don't Own Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Lovely. There's a bunch of things we should talk about. The spelling bee is one of them, but I'll get to the spelling bee. I wanted to talk about the Michael Jordan stuff with LeBron James. I guess maybe I'll get to that. Let's start with Samantha Bee, though. I didn't know much about Samantha Bee because I'm the only person in America who has never seen The Kardashian Show, never, and never seen The Daily Show, never. Even though I knew that Jon Stewart was a big talent
and Oliver
very famous, but I've never watched those shows. Samantha Bee came up through the ranks, Gene, of the...
Yeah.
You know, she was an alum of
The Daily Show, and then I think she was on Colbert. And
didn't she have at the White House Correspondents' Dinner some alternative thing, stuff like that? So is she reasonably well respected?
Well respected, I believe.
And her show is called talented. Full Frontal.
Yes,
that's her show,
Full Frontal
this is a nightly
Samantha
show.
B.
Well, she went. There's nobody in the world that wouldn't think she didn't go over the line. She went over the line in a particular word that she chose to attach to Ivanka Trump, and she has now apologized. I mean, this is de rigueur. Everybody apologizes.
Amid calls for her.
Don't do it. You don't have to apologize.
Amid calls for her termination.
Mm-hmm. Right, which are, you know, I mean, this is where I was with Kathy Griffin.
Yeah.
This is where I am with Roseanne Barr. There's a small little story in the Washington Post today about Pete Carroll, the football coach at Seattle. And Pete Carroll is calling for a commitment to empathy or something like that. I mean, I don't know how we got to the point where comedy is gone, where it's just so unbelievably mean all the time, where you say to yourself, this might have been funny in another era, but let's go so far past
it.
Let's go so far past it.
Comedy is not gone.
What?
Comedy is not gone. But this is like the Me Too movement to me. You commit a foul at a 10 level, you commit a foul at an 8 level, you're out, goodbye. There's collateral damage, so long, see ya. This is just completely unacceptable. I mean, I don't know, I can't pretend to know what the N-word means to black people, but I know what the C-word means to women. You
can't
are
do it.
Gone.
You can't do it. It's just like stop, and it's in. And again, and I'm repeating an old theme for somebody my age. This is encouraged by the internet, by comments where everybody feels empowered to say whatever they want, which often includes terrible things about people they don't even know.
But I don't get why you do that 24 hours after Roseanne. I mean, do you have a brain
stupid.
In your head?
Because you're stupid. It says, what do you mean you're dribbling out to midcourt? Don't you know the score?
Right.
What do you mean? So we get to the, it's a daily occurrence.
But there's
now.
Still, you know what? I watch Jimmy Kimmel every night.
He's funny.
He is very funny.
He's
you
funny.
Can still be funny without this coarseness, without this dehumanizing language.
Is there not?
Did you feel this way about, because Kathy Griffin drove me over the wall.
That was horrible.
Just tell you can't. No, no.
No, it was horrible.
No.
For me, there's a little bit of a distinction to be made in the Roseanne comparison with Samantha Bee. And I'm not sure where I come down on Samantha Bee, just to say that up front. But one of them was sort of happened between the lines and the other didn't. I mean, she was performing. To the point you've been making about Roseanne, you know, their job is to push the line, push
that's
the line.
Right.
Well,
that might
be Roseanne's job on stage. I mean, it's Tom Wilson's job to cross-check you
but
in
you
the throat
But you
better
not do it
ice.
At the corner of Wisconsin and Jennifer.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So because
then you're going to jail.
Samantha Bee wasn't cross-checking a dude crossing the
right,
street.
She was,
Roseanne,
right.
Maybe, you know, it's different. I mean, I don't know when you're on Twitter. Maybe she could argue I am performing. I'm constantly performing for my audience or whatever.
But I think what we're talking about is the general level of coarseness in the culture now.
I would value Michael's thoughts on it because he is from
he's
a
young.
Different
yeah,
generation
right.
where
right.
they just sort of, you know, it's they treat it differently.
No, I'm surprised at the speed with which our willingness to accept this type of behavior and language has happened, and it really has felt like it's been in the last 3 years. So I don't really think I have anything more to offer you, Gary, with that. I do think we have to accept that when you have a job, there is a slightly different standard, and something like the professional room that follows Kimmel might have more training for these difficult situations than what is on this cable show. I think that's important to try and recognize. But whether it is your job, whether it is just your interactions with somebody on the street randomly, there is a social obligation that we have all let down.
So I was out with a dog today early in the morning, thinking, as I often do, about quitting
everything.
You know, because I remember when Jimmy Breslin quit. When he quit writing a column, he didn't tell anybody. He just wrote in the last paragraph, "Thanks for the use of the hall," and then he never wrote again. I was thinking, how do I do? And I'm just, you know, and in my mind, I'm thinking, I just got tired of talking. In Forrest Gump, he just stops running.
He just stops running.
And
yeah.
I'm tired of running. You just get at some point tired of talking, because what we now, everybody talks all the time. Everybody posts pictures of themselves all the time and comments on everything all the time. That should be everybody's right. It shouldn't just be a select few, you know, who've earned the right because they went to a certain school or had a certain job. I'm not opposed to it. I'm just tired of it.
Well, you know,
I don't want to hear from most of them.
So maybe
I just don't.
And there is obviously the First Amendment grants that freedom of speech.
Sure.
So
but there are consequences.
I think the more I kind of decide where I come down on the Samantha Bee thing, I think I disagree with you a little bit, Gene, in that I don't think I'm not totally nuts about the notion of she's got to be whacked because she crossed this line. I think she can go, but I think she should go because of the pressure that is applied to the employer by the people who were offended by this, if they deem that pressure to be too great.
Oh, well, if sponsors leave,
some sponsors have already backed out.
The answer to all your questions is money.
Right. Now, ABC made a calculation. They could have waited for that, and that was going to come. But they determined that, you know what, this is going to be better for us to just get ahead of it. I think it's a slippery slope when we start whacking people for saying offensive stuff.
If you don't take action on Samantha Bee, then you are saying to conservatives that there are two ways to go here. The liberal media let Samantha Bee get away with something that they don't let Roseanne get away with.
So you can punish her.
But, you know, also, as we said of the Roseanne joke, what's so funny?
It's not funny.
It's not
well,
funny.
Well, so certain crimes.
Listen,
so you
anger.
Made the foul yeah. analogy. There's charges, and then there's flagrant twos. You know, racism is a flagrant two. You can't.
But
that's
so is
sexual
this.
Stuff is
this
a flagrant two.
This is misogyny.
Two.
Well, everything. Is.
This is misogyny.
Yeah. Everything's
okay.
At least.
You know what?
One.
I will grant you that point because if a man had said it, I would probably feel differently. So I'm showing, I guess, my bias in that regard.
Donald Trump has pardoned Dinesh D'Souza. I didn't know much about him, except I knew he went to Dartmouth and was the editor of the newspaper, like, I don't know, 50 years ago. He's thinking about pardoning Martha Stewart and Rod Blagojevich.
He's just going to clear all the blotters.
Coincidentally, we're on
the
Celebrity Apprentice.
Right.
Yeah, I thought you waited till the end.
Well, you know,
he had nothing to do this morning.
It surprised me that it took him this long to realize that
he's got this power.
This morning,
Phil Spector could be coming
yeah.
in.
This morning, and I've been following this on Twitter, you're probably not aware of it yet.
No,
but this morning, an hour before they came out, the president tweeted, "Very excited to see this morning's unemployment numbers," sort of. And when he said that, of course, the Dow futures skyrocketed because everybody assumed that they were favorable, which they were. So he had something to do this morning.
I guess part of what I read about these pardons that he's issuing or even that he's considering is that's a message to the guys who are currently under siege.
That
by
don't
Mueller.
Worry.
There's like, I got your back. Don't worry about this.
Oh, yeah,
that's
sure.
one of the things they're saying.
All right, the spelling bee, which we need to get to because it's held in Washington, D.C.
Isley brothers was once jailed for tax evasion. I wonder if he could pardon
him. He could be pardoned.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
He might not be alive. And I always talk about the twitching little freaks who participate in this, particularly the ones with the mustaches and all of that. So the winner is Karthik Namani of McKinney, Texas. I'm an English major. I've never heard of these words. They're too complicated. Ispagul, praxitilian, tellian. Condottieri, Miralitic, Sendre, Anca, Glossy. It doesn't matter what they are. You've never heard of these words. So I'm assuming, because I've heard this before, that the way you study for this is you literally memorize the dictionary.
Yes.
Right? That's what you do. What is your life like? I can't go out tonight. I'm on the M's. What?
Yeah,
I mean, what? And what does this do?
Well, and you know the thing
what
about it is,
what are we doing to these children?
Like,
don't let Bootsy do this.
I studied etymology, and it helps.
Is that
you
bugs
think,
or is that words?
No, it words. And it
yeah,
helps
a lot
you
of Latin rootage.
Figure
though.
Out the yeah. meaning of words, but none of these.
What do you care
words
about the meaning?
You can figure out.
These are like technical words. It reminds me of the sort of those intervening chapters from Moby Dick where they just list
yeah.
terms from a whaling boat and everyone just skips through it.
The loser, the girl who finished second, misspelled Bewis Steinslage.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
How could you, what shot do you have?
Yeah, let me use what? That in a sentence.
Yeah.
I don't know what Bewis Steinslage means.
That's the sentence for all of these things. And then they show the guy who reads the cards and reads the words
all indignant.
And how funny he is every once in a while. And he's not that funny. I mean, it's just, it's sort of the context of him.
Bemis Steinslage.
Did you know that they expanded eligibility with a new wild card?
Yes.
Well, what is that?
They went all the way up to 515 contestants.
You don't have to have won. Historically, you had to have won your division or county or whatever to get here. In fact, the winner, I don't think,
yeah.
even won his.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you this, understand that the great line many, many years ago about Terry Bradshaw. Was he couldn't spell cat if you gave him the C and the T. And there are words here. Nobody knows what these words mean. Nobody uses these words.
Is there a practical application for that skill later in life, I wonder?
The winning word was
you could program spell
koinonia.
Check. Oh, sure.
I don't know what is that. Yeah. K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A. And he nailed it. The kid knew the word.
Yeah, he's like,
he
I got
knew
this.
The word.
Oh, yeah, I know this
like
one.
Walking
sit
off the court
everybody.
As the ball's in
yes,
the air.
Yes, Larry Bird, done.
Steph Curry chucked it's it up, done. Turned to the bench. Ball is in the air.
Have you ever seen the movie? I think it's called Bad Words with Jason Bateman.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Jason Bateman's good.
He's really
I understand
funny,
that everybody's angry at him because of
yes.
of the his
yeah.
deal, but he's a good actor. He's a good actor. You don't pay attention to the to this.
See,
do you? To
I
the,
think of my brain as a series of Rolodex cards. And if I'm using up all those Rolodex cards with those words, then
how much you have left?
Not much left.
You don't
left
have
limited
left.
Capacity.
You don't have anything left.
I'm not going to remember my husband's birthday if I can retain all those words.
Do you know what I do now? You know, I maybe there's something wrong with my pronunciation because when I'm in the car and I want to use the phone and I say to the voice, call so-and-so, and I always get pardon.
Oh, I
mean, once you get pardoned, you're on that train
am
for
I
3 minutes.
Chinese?
You're on the 3 minute train. You can't get out.
Wi-Fi.
So
Wi-Fi.
I just now give the numbers. I've gone back
yeah,
to memorizing
here.
Numbers. I've gone back to memorizing numbers.
I've always been a numbers
so,
guy.
Yeah,
so.
I showed done. You on your computer system in the car, you can roll through recent calls because you call the same 10 people.
Yeah. Well,
and there's a
six.
Little spinning wheel on the six. Steering wheel.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to learn to do that. And I can press something and then scream representative. All right, we will have a jingle and email when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony has a bar and his own podcast. Employs his kids to listen to him yak. Not a pervert, just a restaurateur. Tony has a bar named Chatter.
This is
I've forgotten about this.
Tony is half wild, Hall and Wall of Fame. Used to write sports, these days not quite the same. Rather have parking than a Pulitzer. Tony is half wild and Chatter.
It's Joe Arrow singing. Obviously, the lyrics are by Bill Bardo in Columbus, Ohio. That's John Fred and the Playboy Band. That's a
been
long
a
time
Lucy
ago. One song, one hit wonders. Let me thank Barry's Reluga for coming on the show. Let me thank today's sponsors, Omaha Steaks and SeatGeek. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. From Mike Rubenstein, I was food shopping when I picked up a gallon of milk. I immediately noticed the numeric progression when I picked it up. Impressed as I am as a fellow numerologist, I showed it to the woman to whom I'm related by marriage, who was totally unimpressed. I'm related to a woman by parents who live in Northern Virginia and was hoping to visit Chatter and watch the show twice since last summer, but you were off both days. I'm sorry for that. It's 06 12 18 is the progression. It's obviously the datum 06, when you have to.
1, 2, 1,
yeah,
8, yeah,
yeah. It's like 666 in effect.
Ooh.
It's very, very
number
good.
Of the devil.
Mike from Burke, Virginia. I heard the right suggestion during the dry cleaning discussion. You buy the place, you make it full service, for profit dry cleaner. Given the nature of how cleaners make money, you could call it spatter. Actually, pretty good. From Scott Taylor, the quote, I was blindsided by Gary. Whoa, the bus was just put in reverse to make sure it got all of Super G. No, I didn't.
Yeah, I actually took exception with the way that was characterized, but I keep forgetting to bring it up with you. Like, blinds? I don't think you meant it like that, but it sounded like I had somehow, like, done wrong by you or something.
Took yes, a shot. That's sort of how I felt. I mean, I didn't,
called you and said, hey, I'm not sure if you're aware, but the thing is that weekend, and I think...
I know, but we were on the air, and I fumbled around, and I
facilitate
said it wrong.
This somehow?
Huh?
Can I facilitate yeah, this I just, somehow?
Yeah, no, but it's fine now.
Okay, well, I'm
no,
sorry, I didn't now. Intend to
the word
to
is,
no,
like
I didn't
that,
think it was intentional.
Okay.
But yeah. I mean, all
the
of a sudden...
The word is koinonia.
Well, here's the funny thing about it, which I'm sure Michael will appreciate. The schedule had been set, so I just assumed that was the schedule. This is before we had established how fungible the schedule is.
It's completely fungible.
So I'm glad we were able to fix the problem.
Jim Flynn in Colebrook, Connecticut. Tony, we can all relate to your story about makeup on your shirt collars. Thanks for including us. Isaac Rubenstein in Framingham, Massachusetts. I had to laugh with Chris Salise's comment about nothing about the Kim and Kim Kardashian Trump picture looks supernatural. I have to disagree. I think there are many things about the picture that look supernatural. Two very eerie specters in the same room. Please don't read my name on the air. Derek Drish in San Francisco. I heard your dry cleaner story. It brought a smile to my face. You brought to life a Curb Your Enthusiasm Larry David-esque faux pas. Dealing with everyday people, sigh. Would that it were so simple. I guess Larry David
That was a total Larry David moment. Yep. Yeah. Which is why you don't really appreciate
person.
Him.
It's why I don't think he's particularly funny, because we view the world in exactly the same way. Chris McFarlane, Orangeville, Ontario. The slice of Swiss cheese was pretty good. You might have guessed from the number of holes. Tremendous amount of holes. So I'm looking through the refrigerator last night. And I see a new package of Swiss cheese, which I did not buy. Sliced, not like Kraft or anything, but individually sliced. And I said,
you think
Carol,
someone may have broken in?
Where'd you get the Swiss cheese? And she said, well, she went to the dress-up Safeway.
Social Safeway.
Yeah, and I said, well, did you tell them about holes? I said, yes. I said, the more holes, the better. And I said, well, did you check the packet? And she said, no, there's no holes.
There's
like 50 slices. There's no hole.
Similarly, and broken. Gene will appreciate this, I will eyeball bacon in the package, right? Because you want to make sure you're not getting like a super fatty piece.
That's reasonable. Yeah. From Tim in D.C. To Grandpa Satchmo, the least you could have done was given the dry cleaning lady a shout out at the end of PTI. I don't know her name. I don't know her name. From Todd Sanzone in Raleigh, North Carolina. Dear Mr. Mean Man, I tried listening to today's show, but you hurt my feelings and made me sad. I was so upset I spilled my coffee. Can you recommend a good dry cleaner? Tina in Damascus, a question on Facebook asked, how many bowls of Wilbon's chili would it take to fill the Stanley Cup? As a math teacher, I had to find the answer. Using dimensions listed on the official site of the Hockey Hall of Fame, the volume of the bowl at the top is approximately 497 cubic inches. A typical bowl has about 15 cubic inches.
I was always so bad.
So depending on the size of the bowl for Wilbon's chili, you could expect about 30 bowls to fill the Stanley Cup. I expected, when will the train pass you? That's exactly what I thought how that was going to end. Claire Natola, could you please let the listeners know that trivia is coming back to Chatter? We wanted to stick around this time. Push, push, push. Thanks. Every Tuesday starting June 12th, 7:30 start.
Oh, great.
And we're going to be done in an hour and a half. We got people who are doing this who are not going to wait around forever and ever and ever. Right. Tuesdays starting June 12th, 7:30 start. Thank you, Claire. If you're out on your bike time, everyone, do wear white.
You know what ought to happen to them?
What?
They ought to be stabbed by cocktail force.
Oh, my.
Thank you.
Drink until the morning rise.